The text is the gospel reading from St. Mark. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" A Christian lawyer wrote a book defending Christianity titled "The Defense Never Rests." That may be a good title for a book defending the faith, but it's a lousy way to think about the Christian life. There is no way out of this text unless the defense rests. People try to defend what's going on in the text on the basis of raw power. Former President Bill Clinton, when asked why he violated his marriage vows at the risk of losing his wife and his legacy, Bill Clinton answered, "Because I could." Is Jesus' answer to why are disciples doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath day, "Because I said they could"? You know, that could have been his answer. As true God, Jesus is above all law. By definition, whatever God does is good, is right, is fair. As true God, Jesus is King of all kings. He's the King who really does own the whole world. In America, our president is bound by the same laws that we are. He can't legally drive 90 down I-35 any more than you or I. He can't legally park in a handicapped parking spot any more than us. He can't legally shoot a deer this time of year any more than I. That's not how it works with a king in his kingdom. The king owns the roads, he owns the parking spaces, he owns the game. He can do as he likes with what he owns. So it is for Jesus as true God. Since he made and gave the law, he is above it, and so is anyone he wants to be. But note, that's not what Jesus says. He doesn't say in answer to the question of why his disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath, he does not say because the Son of God is Lord even of the Sabbath. That would have been an appeal to raw power. Surprisingly, Jesus says the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. That is, as true man, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. That's not only surprising, that's downright shocking. Before we follow that lead, let us go the way most people do to defend what's going on in the text. They say that this is an example of situation ethics. This was a concept made popular in the 1966 book, Situation Ethics. It simply says that right and wrong are determined by the circumstances of a situation, rather than saying, because I have the power, I can do what is illegal or immoral. Situation Ethics says, because of the situation, I can. This view has Jesus appealing to David eating the special bread, which under normal circumstances was not lawful for him to do. And then Jesus uses the similar circumstances he and David were in to justify doing what David did. But ask yourself, when does Jesus need to be justified for anything? How could the Holy One of God appeal to the sinful man David for justification? When the Pharisees came asking Jesus why he ate with sinners, by whose authority he cleansed the temple, why his disciples did not fast, or why he didn't ritually wash before eating, Jesus never justified himself. He instead put better questions before the ones questioning him. Aside from what a situation ethic view of this text does to Jesus, you see what it's going to do to you? I was in youth group when the book Situation Ethics came out. The standard fare of youth Bible classes then was looking at confusing moral situations. Your mom and girlfriend are in a canoe. It capsizes. You can only save one. What do you do? You're in 7-Eleven. A robber comes in and shoots the clerk behind the counter. The other clerk's in the cooler. The robber asks, is there another clerk in the store? Do you lie or not? You're in prison with your sick child who needs medicine. The guard will get the medicine if you sleep with him. Do you or don't you? First, it is stupid to put such moral dilemmas before teens. They have plenty of their own without importing things into their lives that will probably never happen to them. Second, and this is far worse, there is no end to situations, is there? If you are going to be justified by the circumstances in a given situation, you will always have to justify yourself in every new situation. The defense will never be able to rest. It is the Pharisees who are described in the New Testament as seeking to justify themselves. It is David, a man who knew a thing or two about having the raw power of a king, the vagaries of situations, and about being justified. It is David who said in Psalm 143 that in the Lord's sight, Shall no man living be justified. Only the dead can be done with justifying themselves. Only of the dead do we say that they rest in peace. See, the only way to deal with this thorny text and the even thornier problem of how a sinner like you can be justified is to rest. The Hebrew word Sabbath means rest. So Jesus, the Son of Man, is the Lord of rest. He is the answer to the law that constantly accuses us. When the Pharisees of the world, your own conscience, or the devil himself come at you bringing a law from God, the answer is not the excuses of situation ethics. I did what I did because I had no choice. Nor is the answer the arrogant defense of raw power. I did what I did because I could. Do notice that these are the only two choices the Pharisees in the text and everywhere else leave Christ and Christians. And Jesus, he could have answered either way. Jesus could have said, eating the grain is not unlawful for them because I'm the Son of God. Or he could have said, it's not unlawful for them because they are in a situation similar to David's. Now, Jesus does appeal to David, but not to David's situation. David and his men, in the example, they are the disciples. They were the ones who ate the special bread. Abiathar, the high priest, is Jesus. He eats no bread. He gives the bread to David and to his men. Abiathar, as high priest, had a right to the bread. It was given to him by God for eating and feeding his family. But a priest who violated the ceremonial laws governing sacred food was subject to the death penalty. Not long after Abiathar gave the bread to David and his men, a soldier of Saul came and killed him for helping David. So at the cost of his own life, Abiathar fed David. Jesus is our great high priest. As true God and true man, he is the bridge that reaches both divinity and humanity. As a man, Jesus kept the Sabbath perfectly. Note in the text, only the disciples eat the grain. He does not. Jesus kept all the laws of God perfectly, not just the third commandment. Of course, we do not do that. We don't ever keep any of God's laws perfectly. We don't fear, love, and trust in God above all things. No, we fear disease more than we do God. We love others more than we do God. And we worry constantly rather than trust always. We misuse God's name as an exclamation of surprise or as a power of damnation rather than call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. And we don't find our rest in the Word of God. No, we find our rest in our excuses or our rights. So, therefore, we have no right to be fed by God. We have no right to His blessings, yet we get them. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. He opens His hands and satisfies the desires of every living thing, ours included. He makes the sun to shine and the rain to fall on miserable sinners like us. Now, how can that be? Because we are mercied, we are fed, we are shined, and we are rained upon at Jesus' expense. Like Abiathar, the high priest before him, Jesus pays for feeding us with His blood, sweat, and tears. The Sabbath was made for perfect man, not for sinners like us. A day of rest was created in paradise before the fall into sin. Exodus 20 says, "In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Jesus, the perfect man, has a right to a day of rest. We do not. In order to give us a day of rest, a place of rest, a rest in peace in our graves, Jesus gave up His life bitterly, harshly, brutally on the cross. You will never find rest in your claims to rights, power, or privilege. You'll never find rest in asserting your freedom, your liberty, your individuality before God. When you say to God, "I'm sorry, God, that's just the way I am," God says to you, "Go to hell." When you say, "I have a right to be happy, to live as I please, to express myself," God says, "The only rights sinners have are the rights to be judged, condemned, and damned." Nor are you going to find rest in your excuses. You may indeed have had a harsh life upbringing. You may indeed have had very bad things happen to you in life. You may indeed have genes that make you steal, lie, lust, and drink. But you are going to find no rest before God with any of that. The law of God is absolute. It says perfect men, women, and children go to heaven, not those with good excuses. The Son of Man, who is Lord over the Sabbath, is the answer to that law, that absolute law, to the accusations, to you having no rest from guilt, from fear, from worry. Jesus could have answered the law's accusations in the mouths of the Pharisees by saying, "It wasn't unlawful for my disciples because of my power or the situation." But you know what would have happened? He would have doomed them and us to always having to justify ourselves. The devil, the world, and our own conscience are not silenced by power or excuses. They are silenced only by Jesus. His perfect life is the answer to the imperfections that are always in your life. His innocent death is the answer to the debt of guilt you know you owe for your sins. Your defense can only rest in Jesus. You never keep any of God's laws perfectly. Jesus kept them all. You're not able to suffer enough, bleed enough, die enough to pay for your sins. The suffering, bleeding, and dying of God in flesh and blood, well, they are more than enough to pay for your sins. Rest in the perfect things Jesus did, not in your imperfect claims to right, power, or privilege. Rest in the perfect sufferings of Jesus, not in your excuses or the situation. You toss and you turn. Your soul refuses to be comforted. You find no rest for your body or your soul because you keep fighting to be not guilty by reason of being right or by reason of being excused. No, the defense can only rest in Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.